Welcome to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 92, and I am Libby, your host. And this week, we are doing it virtually, but with returning guests.
Hi, I'm Tom from Glendale.
I'm Allison from Tarzana.
I'm Marcia from Encino.
This is Malik B. from Winnetka.
Happy holidays and everything to everybody, because we are doing our special one this week. And also, I just wanted to let you know, next week, we are going to be doing the best of 2011. So get your lists together. Send it to me as feedback so that we know to compare to our lists. And we'll be doing our special 2011 in review for next week's podcast. This week in the news, there are a couple of items. But first, I actually want to go over the Golden Globe nominations just to get you guys' feedback, see what you think. And the dramas this year are American Horror Story, Boardwalk Empire, Boss, Game of Thrones, and Homeland. What do you guys think?
I think it's a pretty good list overall.
I think it's a pretty good list.
Well, the only thing is, I think Breaking Bad is a very big missing link, because this was the best season of Breaking Bad. So I feel like that's a... Especially because I think they won like last year or something.
So the question is, if you keep the same number of nominees, who do you throw under the bus in order to include Breaking Bad?
Well, I see the thing that's weird is I haven't seen all these shows, so I actually can't make an informed guess. But I am glad that Game of Thrones and Homeland are on the list, because those are two big shows for me.
I think those are both good choices. I also personally think that Tremé was unfairly ignored, because that's one of the best shows on television. I would have put that there. But, you know, you can't have everything. So. Yeah,
good point. And the next is the comedies, which are Enlightened, Episodes, Glee, Modern Family, and New Girl. And I will tell you right now, when I saw New Girl on the list, I cringed, because... If you recall, that was my guess for the first show to be canceled, because I thought it was awful. And, I totally disagree with that list, but
that's just me. You know, I don't understand what people see in that show, because every time somebody says, oh, give it another chance, I do, and I'm disappointed again.
Yeah, I don't like it.
So, but people seem to love it. I don't know if it's Zooey Deschanel's, she, casts a spell on people or what, but people love it for some reason.
So, Tom, it's kind of like a bad relationship. You keep giving it another chance and it keeps disappointing. You're breaking your heart.
Seriously. Maybe this time will be different.
All right. In the news, I have that FX has sanctioned and greenlit a new pilot called The Americans, and it's from one of the creators of Justified. And it's supposed to be it's a period 1980s drama, and it's about a KGB spy family that these two agents got put together and told that they're a married couple, they have a kid, and that family is their cover as they make contacts with other spies, and they're basically sleepers. And not completely sleepers, because sleepers don't do anything. These guys are actually contacting other spies and funneling information, but they're putting on the facade of being Americans. And one of the writers is actually an ex-CIA agent. So that sounds kind of interesting.
It could be.
Could be.
It's FX, so it's worth checking out the pilot at least.
Yeah, I agree. You said you had some news, Tom.
Yeah, CBS has signed a deal with Peter Farrelly as in half of the Farrelly Brothers team. He's going to write and direct a comedy pilot revolving around a group of six parents and step-parents who are tasked with raising two kids. So it'll be interesting. They're known, the Farrelly brothers, of course, are known for their outrageous comedies like Something About Mary. So to see if that translates to a half-hour sitcom format will be interesting to observe. And the other news is also about a sitcom. ABC's new comedy, Work It, which is basically looks like an update / ripoff of Bosom Buddies. But it has spawned a huge backlash from the LGBT community. So it'll be interesting to see what how ABC reacts to that.
Right. Oh, I don't think they're going to pull it.
I doubt they'll pull it, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, if people show up. I mean, I'm sorry, the ads look quasi funny, but it could also be very, very bad.
Yeah, I'm not interested. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I think it's another example of we're going to the same well we went to 20 years ago, and things that worked back then might not work now.
Right.
I agree. I think what also may be interesting is how much of the time this show focuses on the guys in drag at work and how much focuses on their time outside of work. With Bosom Buddies, if I recall correctly, we spent a lot of time when they were not at work and when they were at home with their family.
That's correct.
And that I thought was actually the central focus of the show. Here, I think you're probably going to see the balance on the other side with mostly seeing the guys in drag, which would be a different kind of formula.
Yeah, and a recipe for disaster, personally.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. But, all right, moving on to the shows. First up, we want to talk about Once Upon a Time. What'd you guys think?
Oi.
Oi?
It's good. My heart. It's great.
I think it's too soon for them to be killing off a major character.
I agree, because I really... This was actually...
Especially that major character.
Well, the thing that frustrates me is this is literally the first episode that focuses on him. I mean, he's a major character. He's been around the background and helping other characters do their stuff, but he's never had an episode about him. And this is the first episode about him, and he gets killed? Like, really? Come on.
So, I think what they're showing is that there's no one safe.
Yes.
She showed the. I mean, sure, they showed the Blue Fairy in an earlier episode, just snuffed instantly. You know, so that we'll see her in real backstory. But I think this is showing that don't think because it's a major character it will survive. They can all die except for maybe three. Otherwise, everyone else is up for grabs. I like that.
I do. I mean, it does raise the stakes. I agree, but
well, I'd like it if it hadn't been like, you know, the hottest male character on the show. That annoyed me a great deal. And I mean, they could kill out. They could kill some of the like non-hot male characters. I wouldn't have cried quite so much, you know. But him, that really annoyed me.
Did like his Scottish brogue, even though he was supposed to be American.
Yeah, plus I mean, Scottish or Irish. I never quite pinned that down, but you know, it was cute either way.
I like the way that they showed the history and how we still don't know exactly what Snow White did to the witch. It's still, you're not quite sure, because since they're not going by the original stories, based on their discussion, it still doesn't come out. So you still got that, what about, what if?
Yeah, although, you know, I still don't, I don't understand the logic of the backstory that they showed us, because, you know, they kept talking about, well, we need somebody who's really cruel and really heartless to kill off Snow White, and they give us this huntsman who, like, you know, sheds tears over venison.
I don't think she saw the terror part. She saw a huntsman. She didn't see the part where he went, please forgive me. Nom, yum, yum.
Yeah, but there's obviously a rumor about him, because people in the bar knew who he was.
Yeah. They're talking about, oh, he cries over his kills, you know? I mean, this should be, like, common knowledge about him. And it's like, yeah, I want this guy. That's the man for me. Yeah, he's heartless, all right. Emo huntsman. Give me that one.
Go ahead.
I would agree that that was a little weird, actually very weird, that he was her prime candidate for what she described. And after she described who she wanted, he was like, oh, yeah, that's me. And I thought, really? The idea that he couldn't feel afterward and he was looking for some sensation was kind of interesting. Unfortunately, we're not going to get to explore that very much anymore.
Thank you, writers.
Except, guys, you forget this whole thing is mostly done in backstory. There's absolutely no reason that he's not on the show anymore. He's just not in present time.
That's true.
He can still be in past time.
This is true, but I think the biggest problem with this show so far is they are not moving the present day narrative fast enough.
Yeah.
And viewers are deserting this show by the droves. There was an interesting article online basically questioning, are TV showrunners given too much power, comparing it to Lost, which ABC is delighted in making that comparison with two of the Lost writers behind it. And other recent failures, such as Flash Forward and The Event from last season.
Yeah, they take too long to get the show interesting.
I see another.
You've got to get people invested in the present day narrative faster. And this has been my complaint with Grimm and even Person of Interest to a certain point in this season. Move the present day storyline forward. Otherwise, people feel like they're on the treadmill.
I also would say it seems like for Once Upon a Time in particular, the main problem is that, or the main issue is that people don't remember their other life. And all you have to do is kiss the blonde woman and then they'll be fine. So if everyone just have a session where everyone kisses a blonde woman and then the show will be over.
Of course, this is going to get kind of weird on ABC if everyone kisses.
All right, let's wrap that one up.
Special episode of Once Upon a Time.
Let's wrap up that one. I still like the show. I wasn't happy that the Huntsman died, but I thought the episode was really good. So I still think thumbs up. So let's move on to Boardwalk Empire, which is, again, the show that I don't watch. What do you guys think?
Wow.
That was amazing.
Wow. Okay, now Allison and Marcy, were you in on last week's conversation about the episode?
Yeah.
But I think Allison and I had predicted or were hoping that Nucky and Jimmy were going to kiss and make up this episode. Wow, we were wrong.
Well, there was an attempt at it, and I think that, you know, they kept you guessing that was what was going on right up until that last little scene where they had their final meeting.
Right until Nucky plugs him.
And it didn't work out quite that way.
Right when Nucky plugs him twice.
Oh, man. I mean, that just amazed me. It really did. That was so unexpected, and so unexpected that it would be Nucky personally. And they made you very much aware that that is the first time he has personally done something like that.
Yep. And what's interesting in reading some of the interviews with the actors and the executive producer, it calls back a line from season one where Jimmy had told Nucky that you can't just play at being a gangster.
Yeah, you can't be half a gangster.
You can't be half a gangster. Yeah. And Nucky's like, yeah, I remember what you told me last year. Bam!
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not half a gangster anymore.
Oh, he is
not. So now, Nucky had said to him on Veterans Day, you don't know the game you're playing. So therefore, you don't know the rules because you don't even know the game. And poor Jimmy, because it wasn't his idea to kill Nucky, and he didn't want to kill Nucky. But yet, Nucky's brother is still alive?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Nucky's brother was the one holding the rifle in the background. I mean, that's the irony, really, because Nucky's brother was the one who was so gung-ho to kill him. He was the one who was pushing the hardest to kill his brother. And yet he's the one who Nucky, you know, lets back in under his wings. And Jimmy, who was really not wanting to do it and who only grudgingly agreed to it, is the one who gets killed.
Yeah, everything about the show was just not what you wanted, but you kind of expected would happen. What's going to happen in Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania, you know, what's going on with those guys over there now talking about bringing in heroin. You know, we're seeing the beginnings of how the mob started to figure out it was easier and cheaper to get people hooked on drugs. And all of this is coming from Prohibition, all from the government, you know, and the religious people thinking, oh, this will be better for everyone. And this is why we have what we have nowadays, because of that little 10-year period of time. When everyone went, how can we get more messed up cheaper?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting. What gets me, even though it's all towards the end, is his poor little boy. He's now got grandma to raise him, and she a scary woman.
That is very, very frightening for that kid.
The kid is going to be seriously messed up now.
Oh, God. You know, and you can tell Jimmy didn't want to leave the child. That was his only thing. I'm so surprised he didn't ship the kid off somewhere or do something, knowing that there was a good chance, expecting he was going to get killed by Nucky. That just gives me. I love what Margaret did.
Oh yeah,
Margaret, because you could tell she knew as soon as Nucky did the stupid thing of telling her, by the way, I ran into Jimmy. He decided to go off to war again. And you could see her expression change because she's not stupid. She knew what happened. Not the details of it, but the general gist. And her first move was to go and screw Nucky.
Although that's going to be interesting to see the ramifications of that betrayal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely, because he's not going to take that lying down.
But there's nothing he literally can do, which is the kick in the head.
Well, there's nothing legally he can do.
Well, yes, and legally or illegally, still, there's a document given to the church. What's he going to do? It was just amazing. I wonder if the FBI agent is going to be back next season, since now he's in some little hole-in-the-wall religious town somewhere.
Oh, no, no.
If you read some of the interviews, they specifically put him there because that is going to turn into Al Capone's little enclave later on.
Hey guys, let's wrap this one up. Give your final thoughts.
Thumbs way up.
Way up. Yes.
and for people who haven't seen Boardwalk Empire, first season is a little slow and expository, but second season just takes off like a rocket.
Absolutely. You'd be doing yourself a favor to start watching.
All right.
Absolutely.
Except now that I know how it all ends, I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, all right. All right, next up, we're at the penultimate of Dexter. And this week's episode, I have to say my initial reaction to Dexter was I didn't feel like watching it this week. I mean, I literally waited to the last minute to watch this episode. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is it felt like last week or the week before where we get the big twist and everything and you want to see how that all falls out. That happened. And so now it's kind of like, Colin Hanks was Trevor is going to do a gas attack. And I'm like, I don't know if I care. So that was a little slow. But man, once I watched the episode, is Deb now like fiending for Dexter? What?
Ew.
I think it's
a place they didn't need to go. I don't. What is this? Incest is the new black this year. Every show has got to do it. I didn't get that.
Technically,
it was weird and it was nasty.
I know. Technically, they're not blood related. It doesn't matter to me.
I'm curious if you guys think that they feel at all safer to pursue that storyline because people know about the real life romantic history with the two actors?
Maybe that was their thinking. I don't know, but it has nothing to do with the characters.
Exactly.
And it's nasty.
Yeah, it bothers me. And part of me, you know what I'm also thinking because I've seen shows similar to this? I think the psychiatrist chick might have an agenda.
Yeah.
I really feel like that did not help Deb at all. Like, that actually messed Deb up more than it helped her.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm kind of like, well, is the psychiatrist really on her side?
That's an interesting thought. I hadn't considered that. It was interesting. I'd been away from Dexter for a while, and so I was watching it to see if my knowledge of their relationship affected how I viewed the show on the very same instance episode where they begin to explore that in a very curious way. So, there's the ooh. I think it depends on, you know, how we watch it. Do we watch it in terms of being really submerged in that world, or do we also watch it with that kind of dual vision of understanding the relationship between the actors and what they might be doing there? But it'll be curious. As of right now, you know, she had that little dream sequence. We'll see if they take it any further. It'd be almost irresponsible if they didn't develop it to some extent as the show continues.
Well, now that they set it up, but I really don't want to see it. I'll tell you that right now.
Absolutely not. I would be very happy if they actually just dropped it because that was a place I didn't want
to
go.
Well, like I said, I'd like Deb to go back and talk to... I'd say I'd rather her confront the psychiatrist than to confront Dexter.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if it turns out that the psychiatrist ended up getting too close to her because she's been paid by LaGuerta to get
screw
back
with her?
Close to Deb.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Then I'd be okay with it. But otherwise, no, it's just an icky place I don't want to be.
Let me ask a somewhat different question. Is Deb generally Is she generally stupid? The reason why I'm asking this question is because Dexter runs in and stops the woman with a poison gas canister. And Deb asks him, oh, how did you know that she was doing that? And he says, I got lucky, and she drops it. Isn't that weird?
No, not for their relationship. Because the couple of times that she's pushed it, he's reacted really angrily, and she's learned not to push him on stuff.
They've had Deb being singularly incurious about
well, she has
Dexter
to be.
In a lot of ways. Otherwise, she would have solved, you know, the questions about him a long time ago. They don't have her being so stupid with other cases and other people.
Right.
But with Dexter, yeah, she suddenly turns really incurious and really dumb.
Right.
So does that explanation, well, that and the fact that nobody makes him go to the hospital after he's been exposed to a terrorist attack, they think, do those bother you guys, or you just kind of accept it as, you know, I'll give him a pass because I like the other stuff in the episode?
That's kind of how the show worked, because he doesn't like, based on his prior behavior, that fits.
Well, you know, there's this season has been singularly sloppy with things like that. Usually, in seasons past, they haven't been. This season kind of has been all over the place with having Dexter just suddenly up and run off and do stuff like, I mean, he hardly seems to be on the job at all.
Yeah, he's never at work anymore.
And that's really unrealistic, and they've never been quite that sloppy in past seasons.
The only thing, let's talk about the case real quick, the whole Trevor thing. Trevor getting the jump on Dexter and all of that, and the part of it was they set up Dexter doesn't go to the hospital so that he can be weak when he goes up against Trevor later.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the confrontation between the police, who's the partners? Batista and his drunk partner.
Oh yeah.
I like that all kind of came to a head because it needed to. Like, I couldn't have that guy as my partner either. Like, that was crazy. He almost got killed because that guy was drunk somewhere, passed out. So, yeah, I'm glad they dealt with that, and hopefully that'll be the end of that, because that was a stupid storyline too.
Well, the show wraps up
next
tonight.
Week. Yeah, well, yes.
You know, this next show, so.
Well, we'll give an overall view when we get to that, and we can wrap up the show, see what we think. But so far, this has not been their greatest season.
No, it has not. Not their most shining moment.
Next up, Homeland.
Wow.
The inverse and opposite of Dexter.
Yes.
I heard two wows.
Yes, yes. It was really good. I thought that Homeland took my concerns from last week, because I think last podcast I said, well, you know, what's her name?
Carrie.
Carrie got blown up in the explosion last week. And I was like, well, does anybody know she needs medication? People, you know? And that's exactly, it was like, oh, the bomb messed up her balance and her medication mixed with the other stuff they were giving her. And now she's off a rocker. I mean, and she's way off a rocker.
Oh, my. I mean, really, seriously, her rantings were spectacular to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And her fixation with the color pens and going on and on. And the look on Mandy Patinkin's face was the most priceless thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Just staring at her going completely out of her mind was
And yet, by the end of the episode, he realizes that there was a method in her madness.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was fantastic, too, when he's looking at this collection of stuff and suddenly realizes, wait a minute, it is all color-coded. And he starts putting it all together on the wall.
And then Brody totally screws her.
I was brilliant.
It was her fault. It was her fault, though, because, again, she can't think straight.
Yep.
And she gives the absolute wrong person a phone call.
Right.
Yep.
You know, and I was screaming at the screen, no, 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 don't, somebody stop her, please. And of course, the inevitable happens.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that her dad had warned her, you know, is this the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do?
And of course, she's crazy, Miss Crazy Lady. She's like, oh, it's totally right. And I'm like, oh, this is when you need to tackle her down the street, you know, like,
and
she can't blame anybody but herself, except that, and she's crazy. So
what I found really interesting, though, is that Brody's daughter is catching on.
Right. Well, she doesn't know what
she doesn't know what it is, but right. she knows there's something really wrong with her dad.
Right. And I liked that he had everybody convinced except for the whole saying goodbye speeches. Like, he's like, oh, you've been a great son and look after your mom. And he goes, you know, he goes to the daughter and he's like, you're going to have to look after your mom, blah, blah, blah. And she's kind of like, what? You know, it's like, why would you be telling me this? And she thinks it's strange. And he's like, and I love you and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, okay. And so she doesn't know what to do with that. That's a little suspicious, but she still would have been okay if it hadn't been that secret package. And even, you know, him saying, oh, it's a present for your mom. She was like, okay, cool. And she just wanted to look at it. But his reaction to her wanting to look at it was just out of proportion for him. And that sent all kinds of alarm bells off. She has no idea what it is, but she knows it's not good.
Mm-hmm. So. And I mean, she thought it was weird enough that she looked back over the video and realized, you know, the reactions of her dad just staring into an empty field while everyone else was moving around him was just not normal.
Right.
That was creepy.
It was awesome creepy.
That was really cool.
Yeah. So finale tonight apparently cannot be held within an hour. It will be an hour and a half.
Yes. So 90 minutes of Homeland.
Yeah. And I have no idea where it's going, and I love that.
Oh, yeah. Because we've got, I think we have two assassins right now. We still have the sniper guy. And we've got Brody with his suicide vest.
Yes.
So I'm like, whoa. I mean, it could go any way, you know?
Yep.
So, yay!
That's something she did pick up on, is that the idea of Walker, he is just a distraction. When like a magician doing a sleight of hand, he's just a distraction. He's a pretty girl in a corner while something else is happening over here.
Right.
Even with all her manic, she's picking up on everything.
Well, actually, I think her manic helped her pick it up. I think her manic allowed her to see the pattern that nobody else is seeing. But, you know, but she's crazy now, so nobody's listening to her.
Right, exactly.
You know. Anyway, wrapping
and
that.
She compromised herself by sleeping with him.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just bad judgment on her part. Anyway, she wasn't technically crazy at that point, but... Anyway,
yeah,
so
she was.
She's technically crazy all the time.
Technically, she's always crazy.
Ah,
but,
good
know,
point.
She's just got medicated. It sort of bottled.
Yes. All right, wrapping that one up, I think total thumbs up across the board on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So next up, let's talk about Terra Nova. I hear that that's Tom's favorite show.
Funny. Okay, so after taking abuse for not watching it and still being a tough critic of it, I activated my Hulu Plus account and watched last week's episode and the episodes before that, and I must say I am still underwhelmed.
I can't argue with you on that. I've become more underwhelmed as time has gone on. I find that the only character I care about is Taylor. And I don't care about anybody else.
I think part of the problem with this show is the casting was... they should have... the kid who's dating their teenage daughter, he should have been the son.
Oh, he's yeah, he's a better actor. Yeah.
He's a better actor. And the kid who plays Taylor's son, awful also. It's like, where are you casting these people from?
Yeah. It's considering how much money they put into this show, the casting department should be fired.
Yeah, it's just shameful. And, you know, when I heard there was a mole, Sky was my first suspect before I found out that, of course, she is the mole. And, of course, they can't even let her be completely bad because they've got her mother. And I just don't care.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue. The only thing I do care about is I care about Sky and Taylor's relationship. I do care about that. I don't care about her liking the son. I don't care about her and her mother. But I do care about the fact that she portrayed Taylor and how that, because they had a really good father-daughter thing going, and I did care about that. And now that's kind of gone. But otherwise, I find that the wife, the doctor wife, whatever her name is, she's good. Like, she's a good actress. And
she's fine, but the whole family thing is so... it's not written well, and when half the kids are bad actors, it's like... I don't care. I don't care about the family unit.
I don't care about the family unit, but as we were disparaging actors, I just wanted to make sure she wasn't on the disparaging list because
I
like her.
I like the wife. You know, I like, why can't I think of I like the actor who plays the husband, Jason O'Mara. I just don't like much of what they've done with the whole show. It just seems like a squandered opportunity undone by bad writing and bad casting.
Sounds like you might have grounds for a lawsuit, whoever told you to watch the show.
No, it's just when this thing is costing $4 million an hour.
Yeah.
It's just, and people were thinking, well, they might get a second season. If you know, unlike a Joss Whedon show, it may have low ratings, but you know it's got a good storyline.
Right. This has nothing like that.
This has nothing going for it. I mean, the dinosaurs have gotten better looking at least. But Lord knows they've had enough time.
All right.
But I was just really disappointed.
All right. So, consensus, thumbs down.
Are we the only ones watching it?
I think so.
Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah, thumbs way down.
Next up is NCIS, and I'm going to talk about it really, really quick, in that nobody else watched it but me, and I think that's a travesty. The only thing I want to mention is that the sight of Gibbs having to deliver a baby to a Marine woman was hilarious, because she was all about, I'm still a Marine, I can still carry a gun, blah, 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 blah. And you have two assassins outside trying to kill her. And the name of the episode was called The Wise Men. So the whole thing is, this is all Christmas Eve, and she's pregnant, trying to have a baby, and she's got assassins she had three assassins trying to kill her.
I hate when that happens.
And take her baby, because they thought her baby was going to be the heir to some rich oil fields or whatever. So instead of having wise men, you had three assassins. And they kill one. Well, no, they capture one, and then they have to try to kill the other two. And so the woman has a choice between Ziva helping her deliver the baby or Gibbs. And because Gibbs is a Marine like her, she wants him there. And so Ziva has to go out. But I mean, personally, since Ziva is an assassin, I personally would choose Ziva to go out and kill the assassins myself as well. So that worked out pretty well. So Ziva went and killed the assassins, and Gibbs delivered the baby. But the look on his face when she told him she wanted him to deliver the baby was priceless, worth the price of admission. So, yay, good episode. Done. All right, next up, let's talk about American Horror Story.
It was a really awesome episode. In this episode, Vivian finally gave birth to her Antichrist baby.
Woohoo, babies all around.
Yeah, hey. And actually, it was the birth of her twins, one of whom was born dead, one of whom was stillborn, which apparently was very good news to one of the ghosts, who decided to take care of it forever and ever and make hers for all time, anyway.
Creepy.
Yes, very creepy, but you know, that works out perfectly well in the murder house. And the other Antichrist baby was a healthy, bouncing baby, demonic boy.
What every parent wants.
What every parent wants. And and Vivian, who wanted no part of being dragged back into the house again, was of course dragged back into the house again. And all the ghosts in the house came out to help her deliver the baby, which was possibly one of the creepiest sights I've ever seen in my life. The baby was delivered by the abortion doctor, which was also one of the most surreal sights of all time, and the two dead nurses beside him. And the whole thing was just completely weird and bizarre and utterly wrong on a thousand different levels.
So is that weird, bizarre, and wrong in a good way?
In a very good way, as far as, you know, American Horror Story is concerned. I mean, it was just one of these mental screw arounds that only they can do so well.
The reason it was is that Tim Minear wrote the script.
Mm-hmm.
And his hand
was all over it.
Oh, absolutely. I come and I go where this show is concerned, and there are moments I just, but 20 minutes into this, I wouldn't post it on Tim's wall on Facebook. Your brain, it scares me. And then I went back to watching the show.
So this is that kind of Addams Family show, right?
Well, it's a little scarier than that.
It's a whole lot scarier than that. The Addams Family are warm.
It's a woman from Friday Night Lights?
Winnie the Pooh land, but okay. Next to this.
Yeah. I think the Addams Family would actually be scared off.
Yeah.
Oh, easily. Yeah. I mean, Constance alone would scare the Addams family off, and she's alive. In fact, that's one of the scariest things about her is that she's still alive.
Well, and that thing is that she is the only one that is alive. I find it interesting that the psychic saw the daughter, mm-hmm. and then talked to her mentally, just by thinking. They talked together, and it was like, "Don't let Constance know that I can see you, or that you can see me, or something." That was interesting too. That, you know, here you've got somebody from the land of the living who knows what's going on, but is also worried about Constance and what she's looking to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, Constance could see her, but she didn't know that she was looking at a ghost.
Right.
You know, she still thinks that Violet is alive, that she's talking to a living person.
All right.
She wants to keep it that way.
Can we wrap this one up? What did you guys think?
It was just a fantastic episode, and it left questions open for the finale, which is going to be Wednesday, and it's a 90-minute finale. So there's going to be a lot of crazy going on. A lot of people are jockeying, included Constance included, but a lot of others, for possession of the surviving child. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens and who gets possession of the kid.
All right. So next up, we want to talk about Psych. And I have failed in my duties in that some kind of way this episode slipped through my fingers and I missed it. It might have been because last week's episode I really didn't like it. I just kind of wiped it from my mind or something. But this week's episode actually looked good from the trailers. I just totally, I don't know, I didn't watch it. But Tom, you did though, right?
I did. I mean, the main mystery of the episode, the, you know, the retreat and dead body and, you know, Sean taking Gus's credit card and then somebody stealing Gus's credit card from Sean and, you know, burglarizing the room, yada, yada. That wasn't really the consequential part of the episode. The really consequential thing is you've got Sean and Juliet at this couple's thing, and they're talking about their relationship, and he's trying to be light and fluffy, etc. And then he's obsessed with getting this Game Boy that was stolen among the things from their room back. And they're like, dude, you're an adult complaining about a game, and he tries to take one from a kid thinking it's his and it's not. And then at the end of the episode, Gus tries to say the whole thing was a case of credit card fraud, which, come on, Gus, that's not cool. But they did recover Sean's Game Boy, and Gus picks it up, and there's a rattling round inside, and he opens up the battery compartment, and there's an engagement ring inside. And this is after Sean and Juliet have talked, and Juliet's like, hey, I'm happy with our relationship is. It's not like we're heading toward marriage or anything, and Sean tries to play it off, and we find out that he, in fact, had this nice engagement ring hidden in the Game Boy.
That's actually weird for Sean, because he's Mr. Anti-Commitment Guy.
Yeah, I thought it was a little out of character and curious, so it was very out of left field. It'll be interesting to see how they play this off when it gets back. And one of the running gags was that when Sean goes off with Juliet and Gus is left with the rest of the guys.
Oh, with Lassiter, like, and those guys?
Say what?
With Lassiter and his dad?
With Lassie and his dad. Oh, and there was a subplot that there was this young woman who was romancing dad, and basically she had a thing for older men, which was kind of creepy. But they played the joke that, oh, this is probably the first time you guys have been separated this long.
So, that's true. Sean and Gus, they met when they still were both wearing footy pajamas, something mm-hmm. like that. Yeah, they've known each other way too long. They're way too codependent. But
yeah,
all right. So good episode.
It was okay, but I thought that the curveball about the reveal of the engagement ring was, I literally am like, seriously. So, but I'll be interested to see where they how they continue this when they pick back up.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about the next show, which is Burn Notice. And this was the season finale, I believe. Not series, but season finale of Burn Notice. So they ended, well, they basically have everything come to a head, where he's been blackmailed for the whole season by this spy. And I was actually kind of angry with him. I felt like Fiona did, that there has to be a line in the sand of things you're willing to do for blackmail.
Yes.
And Fiona felt like they had reached that point. Like, she was like, you know, you're about to ruin four people's lives and give them control of arms and shipments and bombs that we can kill many more people. She was like, this is the line. We should not cross this line. And he's like, well, I don't want you to go to prison for the rest of your life, so there's, you know, I'm willing to do anything, blah, 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 blah. And I kind of feel like, no, she was totally right. There has to be a place where you won't go.
I agree. My source of frustration with this episode is that couldn't this decision have been reached like half a season ago?
Right.
Well, because it's the same outcome.
It is, except that everything that the guy was asking him to do didn't hurt anybody. Like, everything that he had asked him to do up to that point, he felt like he wasn't being loyal, but nobody actually really got hurt. And this was the first one where they saw very clearly who was going to get hurt for what they were about to do. And that's why it came to that. And it actually made me angry at Michael, because I felt like he crossed over the line between being a good guy and being a compromise. You know, there has to, like Fee said, there has to be, if you consider yourself a good guy, there has to be like a place you won't go. So
absolutely.
Did we see a decision on his part?
Oh, yeah. He totally did. Yeah. He did.
He crossed the line.
Yeah, he did. And I was actually kind of angry with him. But Fee basically made that all null and void because she went and turned herself over to the police. And a bunch of things happened at the same time where people got... he told Jesse to destroy the computer that he uploaded that info into. And they ended up catching everybody. Fee was just like, you know what? I'm not going to let anybody hold my fate over you again.
I thought that she made the right decision and Michael didn't. And it'll be interesting to see where they pick this up from. I will be glad when they get rid of this bad guy because he bores me.
I now that you've pointed it out and said it last week, I was like, is he really boring? And I started watching it this week. I was like, maybe he's a little boring. I'm not sure if I totally agree with his boringness, but I can see where you're coming from. All right, so wrapping up Burn Notice. I thought this was a good finale. I did enjoy the finale.
It was a good finale, but my complaint would be that the stakes, you could have reached the same point, you know, 5-6 episodes ago and similar result.
Okay.
I just want to add one more thing. If you're entertaining a discussion about whether the bad guy is boring or not, you know, when in doubt, he probably is boring.
Okay, I'll take that call. All right, next up, let's talk about Prime Suspect.
I'm going to miss this show. It's taken a while to get its groove on, and it's a shame that nobody's watching it, apparently, because it's on NBC.
Right.
And if it were on CBS at a 10 o'clock slot, it would probably have an audience. You know, instead of like maybe Unforgettable.
Oh, God, that show is so bad. But yeah, I would definitely prefer Prime Suspect over Unforgettable.
Oh, yeah. Hello. But I loved the riff from the beginning of the episode that kind of came back a couple of times. I hate eyewitnesses.
Oh, right.
But the thing is, she's so right. And people forget about that. It's like, I've got eyewitnesses. It's like... I was on a jury a couple years ago, and the judge actually, in the instructions to the jury, said, eyewitness testimony is among the most flawed. And the case he cited was the Tyson fight. You know, when Tyson bit off Holyfield's ear, people couldn't remember which ear it was.
It was his left ear, wasn't it?
Say what?
It was his right ear.
Case in point, huh?
You couldn't get consensus of the people who were actually there, which ear it was. And the fact that Timony does the thing with,
our partnership with the glasses, the shades.
Yeah, with the thing with the shades. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, she just basically, they're having a conversation. They've been talking to each other for 5 minutes, and they're talking about eyewitnesses. She puts on her shades, and she goes, what color are my eyes? They've been talking forever, and he had no idea.
I love that he said red.
Oh, right. I was like, good answer. But yeah.
It just seems that it's too bad that a show like a quality show that, you know, granted, they bought the name from the British and that was and the basic bare bones concept, but it's become a completely different show. It's become a good show, and yet it's dead because they've stopped production, and so when they burn off these last few episodes, that's it.
Right. I do think that her boyfriend is useless, though.
Yeah, but man, I think his ex-wife is even more useless.
Right, which is why I don't care about any of that. So, like, yeah. If she had no boyfriend whatsoever and none of that was involved, I would be happier. Because I really like her interaction with her coworkers a lot better than her interaction with her boyfriend.
My biggest problem with the boyfriend, and I like the actor, Kenny Johnson, he was on The Shield.
I saw him on The Shield.
Until they killed him on The Shield, which was a major plot point. But I just don't see why they're together.
I don't either. They are not similar at all.
Yeah, he doesn't seem worthy of her.
He's not that bright, too. So, yeah, I agree. So, but he's pretty, so that just might be the answer.
And it's always good to see Mark Shepard in anything.
Oh, and what was hilarious is he was doing an Irish accent, and I went, wait a minute, is he Irish? And I looked it up, and he's not, and his Irish accent was awful.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. I was like, wow, even British people can't do good Irish accents. So that was that. But yes, Mark Shepard is trying to make the rounds where he is starring on every single show that I watch. To where whenever he shows up, I have to remember who he is. I'm like, okay, wait, are you the devil? No, that's that other show. Okay, oh, you're a lawyer? No, that's that other show. So yeah, Mark Shepard's great. But obviously not Irish. Okay.
No.
So thumbs up, Prime Suspects. This was a good episode. I don't even remember what was the episode about. Like,
Basically the crime, the shooting, and you know there was some good solid police work in about the left handed, the right handed, and the.
That guy, the assassin, actually got set up.
Yep.
That was right, because he's actually an assassin, and he's killed lots of people, but he didn't kill this particular guy that they were trying to save.
In this one case, he didn't do it.
Right. And they actually figured out that somebody was setting him up. So, yeah.
Yep.
That was pretty good. And all the eyewitnesses, one of them was a plant.
Yep.
Okay, right. Okay, I remember. It was good. Yeah, it was a good episode. All right, next up, going on to the gold now, which is Person of Interest.
Person of Interest.
Oh, wow, this episode was great. This was one of their best episodes.
This episode finally moved the arc forward, which was a huge relief.
Right.
That was nice.
Well, I like it when they do that. And it was a matter of, I think, what's her name? Oh, Carter.
Carter.
I like the fact that Carter was really trying to, she's a by-the-book cop, and she's got these other cops from another agency saying that this guy is a bad guy, even though he saved her life. And he trusts.
They were CIA, actually.
Right. They were CIA. And he was like, yes, he trusts you, so we're going to use that. And blah, blah. And she's by the book. And even though she likes this guy, she's like, okay, we have to bring him in because he's a vigilante, even though he thinks he's helping people. That all makes sense. But where she had the problem was they get the guy out in the open, and they're like, oh, we're going to bring you in. And he goes, I don't think you're going to bring me in. And he's like, oh, yeah, we are. And then they immediately shoot him. He doesn't have a weapon out. They're having a conversation, and they have a sniper shooting at him. And they actually do shoot him, and her realization was she was part of a setup just to kill him. They weren't trying to bring him to justice.
They had no intention of bringing him in alive.
Right. And once she realized that, then she was like, all right, I've been on the wrong side. So she helps him. And I think that's the only situation where Miss Straight as Nails kind of cop would help this guy. But now I think they can trust each other if he doesn't bleed out inside the limo he's in.
Yes, which I really don't think they're planning to do. But
right.
I figured, you know, they were going to eventually bring her over onto their side and have her be their inside person.
But I knew it had to be some extraordinary circumstances that would make that happen. And so
she is so straight and by the book.
Right.
So it had to be something like that where she would cease trusting her own side. And I think they set that up pretty well.
Right. All that was really good. It was a really good setup. And the case, I remember, he helped those sisters that people couldn't figure out were sisters. It was the car crash, right? Mm-hmm. It's a car crash. The guy's dead, but he's got $1 million in cash in his car. So everyone who stopped to help him, once they realized he was dead, they divvied up the money and took off. But unfortunately, of course, if you find $1 million in cash, it's probably the money of a drug dealer. So then they all start getting killed. And the drug dealer doesn't even care about getting his money back necessarily. He's just trying to point out, you don't steal my money. So two of the people get killed, and the other two people, he ends up saving their lives. But I like the fact that the numbers came out in a cluster. And I like the because it's like all these numbers came out all at once, which you, they usually only get one number at a time. And the whole thing was either, well, either they're all going to die at once, or the same person's trying to kill all of them, or one of those pieces person's assassin and trying to kill the other three, or like they were coming up with, they were like,
or they're all assassins.
Or they're all assassins. They had no idea. Yeah, I like how they do that with the show, where when the number comes up, you don't know what that means. You just know that there's somebody's number. It could mean anything.
Yeah, it's up to them to find out.
Right. And that's pretty good. That's a pretty good twist or shtick that they have for the show. And this week it really worked out well. I thought it was good. So, thumbs up for me. Agreed?
I thought it was better than the usual. I'm not in love with the show, but I thought that it was better than the usual and that it actually played into the arc. I'd like to see more stories like that, because I'm not thrilled with the just, you know, the crime of the week thing, because we're not going to get attached to the criminal of the week or the victim of the week. They'll be gone by the next week. I like when they pay attention to the continuing characters, and that's what they did this week, and I really hope that they concentrate on that more.
Well, I'd like to see more of Elias. That would be good. Mm-hmm.
There really needs to be a rule with some of these, you know, neo-anthology shows that thou must advance the arc story X number of times in this many episodes, or else risk cancellation or audience turnoff or both. One of my favorite bits, though, was the hairdresser in the salon.
Oh, right, where she brings him in.
She's like, is this gray for real, or did you put it in? I can't have you going out there looking like this.
That was pretty good, because he had no intention. He just walked in, and she basically kidnapped him and got him into her chair. That was pretty good, because considering the fact that he is a trained assassin CIA agent, she got him into that chair, and he didn't even know what happened. He was like, what? That was pretty good. All right. So,
Livia, it's a minor point, but just so you know, it's actually CIA officer, not CIA agent.
Okay. I don't personally know any of them, so
FBI
I don't...
agent, CIA officer. No, I got that.
Write that down.
Okay, I'll do that. All right, next up is Grimm.
Thoughts? It was an okay episode, but again, please move the arc forward. I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. Move this arc story forward.
I have to say I am bored with the Grimm arc in that it's not moving at all.
And yeah, it's just the case of the week. The only thing that even remotely interesting was the refrigerator repairman staking him out with a bunch of his buddies.
Right, and saying, he's a Grimm, and I saw him, and I went to repair his refrigerator, and he didn't kill me. And yeah, and they were like, we don't believe you, big bets. So now a bunch of the creatures know where he lives. That's actually very bad for him.
Yes, I think it's really bad for his girlfriend, but...
Yes. Yeah, we did have a bet on how long she was going to live, right?
Yeah.
What'd you think, Marcia? I heard you wanted to comment.
It reminded me actually of a Buffy season one where it was all these one-offs and you just want to, you know, go give me more story, more arc. I think that their fear, the producers and the writers' fear of being too much genre than being more police procedural, I don't think they're as good as Law and Order. They either have to do more of Law and Order with a little bit of supernatural thrown in, or they are like Tom's saying, they're going to have to really push forward the Grimm aspect. At least he's not an idiot like he was the first couple of episodes. At least now he's picking up on things. You know, before I was like, kill him. Because, you know, he was like just too stupid to live. But now he's picking up on it and he's starting to go with the flow. Still waiting for his partner to pick up on it. Still waiting for the sergeant to pick up on it. All of that stuff's just got to kick in. It's got to become the B story, not the C story. Right. Which is what I'm afraid this last episode was. So I liked the previous episode. But this one, I'm afraid there were good parts of it, but it just took a little too long to get there.
Only thing is I'm afraid of is the girl they found in the woods, who is a Brookbog something, I can't pronounce it. The problem with her is she's been living in the woods for 9 years, feral, and they just send her back with her mom. And I'm like, her mom might get eaten. Like, what? Why? Like, they know that she's a wild beast, and they actually are afraid of how wild she is, to the point where they actually won't bring her out of the woods for the first couple of days, because they don't know what she's going to do. And they give her a barrette from when she was a girl, and they're like, oh, she's fine now. I'm like, I don't think that's how that works. So that was a little unbelievable. But and then they kind of tried to combine it with Rapunzel.
Rapunzel.
With her hair, because she just never cut her hair in the 9 years that she'd been out in the woods.
See, I didn't see that as being a Rapunzel. I saw that as she didn't know to cut her hair, and she ended up learning how to use it as a weapon. Because when you first see her, I'm thinking, what monster is this one that has, you know, a weapon as part of their body?
Well, it's supposed to be Rapunzel, because they have her living up in that treehouse. So she lives up in a really tall tree. It's very Rapunzel, let down your hair. I just saw Tangled, so it was very similar.
And the ad said it was on a twist on Rapunzel you'll never believe.
Oh, right.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I wouldn't even have noticed or cared.
Yeah.
But overall, I still have potential for this show. It's just, it's stopping and starting. Perhaps there aren't the right amount. Maybe there's a problem that they don't have an actual arc written out.
Well, I think they have to have the partner figure something out at some point.
Well, especially if he's starting to date one of the creatures.
Well, she's spying on him. That's what the dating is about.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But if he's a good detective, he should be able to figure out something's up.
Right. So, okay. So I think that is it. Are we thumbs up or thumbs down on this, Graham?
Marginal thumbs up. It was good to see Claudia Christian again.
She did. Yes.
As a Five fan from back in the day.
I would agree. It was good to see her. She did not age all that well. That was my thing, but I like seeing her.
I have one more question for Grimm, but just because I know others continue to compare Grimm and Once Upon a Time, just kind of going around the table, do you guys have a preference for either of those shows? If you had to pick one, which one would you pick?
Once Upon a Time.
Boy, if I had to pick one, split decision.
What? That's not a choice. Pick.
A non-choice is still a choice.
That's not a choice.
It's funny because before the season started, critics had lined up in either one corner or the other, and I was looking more forward to Once Upon a Time than Grimm. If I had to pick push comes to shove, I would give a slight lead to Grimm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Marcia?
And I feel the same way. If you told me that one of them were going to get canceled, I'd want to keep Grimm.
I haven't watched Grimm yet, so I can't make a choice.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, wrapping that up, and don't forget, next week we are doing the best of for 2011. Send in your votes on what you guys think. And remember, you can send that to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are on Facebook. And we are also on getthepointradio.com and kryptonradio.com. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.